106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday! Finally, we made it. This week seemed to take a little bit longer, but that's okay. Finally made it to Friday.
I'm of the belief that it kind of went by quickly.
Really? I felt that way last week. Like, last week went by just like that, and then
I was the other way. I felt like I told Tracy that last week was taking forever.
Yeah, this week took forever. I don't know why. There was nothing slowing it down. It wasn't like a super, super crazy week or anything. It was just, I don't know. It's just one of those weeks.
It's because Auburn's not playing at the end of the week, I guess, huh?
Yeah, maybe that has something to do with it, that Auburn's on the bye. Maybe that has a little bit to do with it. But anyway, we've made it to Friday, so happy Friday. It is gorgeous outside, a little bit warmer than it's been over the last couple of days. Supposed to be a little nicer and warm over the weekend. So hopefully you've got some big plans going on over the weekend. But before we get into it, you've got us for the next 2 hours here on the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. We've got a busy show today. We're going to talk about some college football's news. Obviously, we're going to make some picks looking ahead at some of the games going on tomorrow. In hour number two, our good buddy Jack Hutton will join us in studio to make some picks for the games around college football. We'll have to adjust a little bit. We normally talk about Auburn pretty heavily in their game, but they're on the bye week. So we're going to talk around the SEC and kind of look at the games going on tomorrow, where the SEC stands right now, who needs a win, the teams that really can't afford to lose. We're going to talk about all of that in today's show. And again, Jack Hutton will join us in hour number two. We'd love for you to call in and be a part of the show. 334-321-1390 is the number to put you through to us. We had a busy day on the phone lines yesterday. We would love to have another one here today to round out the week. And just reminding you of what is going on sports-wise here with our stations at Auburn Network. Tonight, here on ESPN 106.7, Game 3 between the Padres and Phillies. That'll be at 6 o'clock right after the drive. Of course, those guys are from 4 to 6. And then we'll have Game 3, Padres and Phillies. That series shifts to Philadelphia. That's Game 3 of the NLCS. So that's been a good series so far. We'll see what happens throughout the weekend, but we've got Game 3, Padres-Phillies tonight. Tomorrow, we've got Ole Miss and LSU, the big SEC matchup. That'll be at 2 o'clock here on ESPN. And then Saturday night, we've got Game 4 between Padres-Phillies. Then on Sunday, we have Game 5, Padres-Phillies. And then Sunday evening, we've got Astros at Yankees, which has turned into an interesting series because the Astros are up 2-0. So that's what's going on here on ESPN. And of course, it's Friday, so we've got Friday Night Football on some of our sister stations here at Auburn Network. Starting over on Wings 94.3, it's Auburn High School on the road at Prattville tonight on the Auburn High School Sports Network. That's on Wings 94.3. That'll begin at 6:30, kickoff at 7 with Scott Bagwell, Rob Pate, and Jack Hutton. Those guys do the Auburn High School Sports Network. They do a fantastic job doing that. And of course, we've also got Lee Scott Academy. We have Fort Dale at home. That is, of course, my gig with Carter Bird as my color analyst. We've got Fort Dale Academy at home tonight. Last week, Lee Scott, they secured the number one seed in the playoffs. They are region champs. They've got two games left in the regular season. Then they'll have a first round bye. They'll host the semifinals of the playoffs, and then hopefully they'll go to Montgomery for state. But tonight, we have Fort Dale Academy at home, 6:30 over on the Lee Scott Sports Network. That's AU 100, 100.3 FM. You can tune into that. Broadcast time at 6:30, kickoff at 7 on AU 100. So lots going on this weekend with our live events and football coverage, high school sports as well. Of course, no after the game because Auburn's on a bye week, so Carter's very happy to get the weekend. But we've got a lot going on, so make sure you're tuning in. We have so much to offer. But as we get into the show today, some comments that were made by Brian Kelly that I wanted to sort of get into. It's more of a situational topic, but in his weekly radio show last night, Brian Kelly, of course, the head coach at LSU, he says that instant replay in college football is ruining the game. And I think that's an interesting, and it's not the first time he said something like this. He has been a huge push to get instant replay removed. He doesn't like it. He thinks it slows down the game. And quote, it's ruining the game. What do you think about these comments from Brian Kelly?
Well, I think to an extent, like I do have a gripe with instant replay when too many things are looked at in a row when it slows down the pace of play and it ruins the flow and all those things. I mean, we've seen... I mean, there's some moments I promise you Nick Saban would have wished that they did not look at plays, i.e. the 2019 Iron Bowl when it allowed Auburn to line up and kick a field goal before half that ended up being very important. But, I mean, it's just... It does kill that flow. It's the same thing in college basketball. The last 2 minutes can take 35 minutes sometimes.
Right.
And which is crazy.
No, I agree with that. And to kind of continue to quote what Brian Kelly said, he said 10 out of 10 times the call stands on the field unless it's an LSU call, right? That was his quote.
How about Brian Kelly just keep going back to the well trying to be funny? Did you see his quote after that? He said 10 times out of 10 the call stands on the field. Unless it's an LSU call, right?
I mean,
that man is so not funny, but thinks he is.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just not right, though. Like, they go to instant replay, and we know why it's there, and we know that it can be useful, and if it's used correctly, it can be to the benefit of the game. Like, if there's a call and you have to question it, go to replay, but don't spend 30 minutes over there. Like, don't go over there and huddle around the little screen and acting like you're looking at it when you're not. You're waiting on the guys back in. If it's the SEC, you're waiting on the guys in Birmingham to give you the call.
Well, they look at it and they have a discussion together.
Yeah.
That's fair. I don't think it's...
But it doesn't take...
I don't think the official on the field has just no say.
I mean, I doubt he has a ton of say, though, because it goes back to Birmingham. So my thing is, if you're going to go over there and do all that, there should be a time limit on this thing. And what comes to my mind is...
Some of them take entirely too long.
Because if you're looking at this thing for, realistically, if you're looking at it for more than 5 minutes, because the rule is on most of plays, right, you have to have indisputable video evidence to overturn the call or whatever it may be, right? If you're looking at it for 5 straight minutes... That's not enough video evidence to overturn the call. It's just not. So we've seen it happen before where they go and it takes 5, 10, 15 minutes to make the call, and all of the momentum for whichever team is completely shut down. The flow of the game is completely lost. And like you mentioned, college basketball has gotten really, really bad because of the last 2 minutes when all plays are reviewable.
Yeah.
And like in football, it's gotten to where what? It's scoring plays are reviewable. And then basketball, they can review anything under 2 minutes, I think. And so they review out of bounds plays. They review turnovers. They review fouls. It's just ridiculous. So what Brian Kelly is saying is not completely false. Is it ruining the game? No, but they're also not using it correctly in that we're talking about instant replay because LSU's head coach Brian Kelly has made some comments about it. They're not using it the way they should be because it is slowing down the game and it does affect the flow of the game, but there's to be a way, and I think it's a time limit. Like, you got 3 minutes. Like, I think you got 3 minutes, look at it. If you can't make a decision within 3 minutes, there's not enough evidence, we move on.
No, I think that's totally fair. I mean, I think it would be even shorter than that. I would shorten it to 2 minutes. I think if you're sitting there, some of these delays can be extremely long. Also, there's some moments where, hey, let's read the room, i.e., what, opening kickoff between Auburn and LSU, where you've got a kid being put on a, he's being backboarded and taken on a stretcher out of the stadium, and while he's in the stadium and being carted off, they called a targeting penalty? It was just like, come on.
Right. And you know, there's so many instances where they're looking at if it was a catch or not, right? We've seen that. We've seen that in college. We've seen that in the NFL a ton. My Green Bay Packers almost got gypped of a loss or of a win this year against the Patriots because they called a pass incomplete. That was a touchdown. But they went and reviewed it for like 10 minutes, and then they still made the wrong call. That's what makes me mad is when officials go to the thing, they go and review it, they look at it, they get the signal from wherever the NFL, I think they're getting it from New York, SEC gets it from Birmingham. Of course, all the conferences have their different offices. But when you go to the replay and you still get the call wrong, that's a problem, right? I mean, that is where you're like, then what did you even go over there for? And not every play needs to be reviewed.
No, absolutely. Not every play needs to be looked at, but it's just, I mean, but at the same time, you can't have egregious misses. You, like, there are game-changing calls that need to be correctly called. So I understand why we have instant replay. I just think that it takes too long sometimes. We get targeting wrong after replay too often still, which is unacceptable. I mean, there's a lot of things I would like to change about college football, college sports, professional sports too. The NBA, as bad as the as college basketball is inside the last 2 minutes, NBA is worse.
NBA is so much worse. It's bad. And one thing that I really liked about some of these newer football leagues, a lot of these spring leagues, you've seen them experiment with this a little bit, and they've tried different things where, like, you get to go inside the booth, inside the officiating booth, or inside the office. When they go up to instant replay, they would put you inside, and you could listen to the conversation that the head officials are having and why they're making the call that they're making on the field or why they're not making the call. I think that's really, really interesting, and I think that's something that college and pro should, or college and NFL, I should say, should implement. I think that's really, really cool because that gives the fans the chance to understand, okay, this is the call we're making and this is why we're making it, rather than, well, we're just going to send it up to video replay 5 minutes later, this is the call with no explanation. And this goes back to also the biggest problem I have with officiating right now, because across all sports in the year 2022, officiating is the worst that we've ever seen it. I mean, it's to a point where it's almost, it impacts the game so much,
yes,
and it's the worst we've seen it in my lifetime. And because people don't want to be officials, because they get treated crappy, which is, you get it. It shouldn't be that way.
When we went to high school media days, that was one of the things that they talked about, mm-hmm. that it's hard to fill out all of their games with officials because of the harassment. And I mean, and you don't need to look much farther than Alabama fans this week being daggum fools about the refs in their game against Tennessee.
But my problem with officiating is it's not if you're getting the calls right 100% of the time. You're humans. That's not going to happen. My biggest thing with officiating is having zero, and I mean zero, accountability for what they do for their job, right? They impact the game more than anybody. Officiating has everything to do with it. You've got to make the right call. I understand you're not going to make the right call every time, but there's no accountability. Mm-hmm. If you throw that flag and you throw that guy out of the game, you don't care. You're moving on to the next play. Yep. If you call that hold or you call that pass interference and it leads to a touchdown, you don't care. You're still going to have a job tomorrow. You don't care. And it doesn't matter to you if that call that you made impacted the game negatively for one side over the other. Yep. It doesn't matter. They have no accountability. Like everybody else in the world that has a job, you've got to be held accountable if you don't do it correctly. And so I think there's got to be some sort of standard. And if there is, I'm unaware of it. There needs to be some sort of standard where, as a NFL official, right? We'll just say an NFL football official, you have to get, when you make a call, or even in a game, you've got to be 90% accurate. And yes, that's with calls that you make and calls that you don't make. I think there's got to be something in there to hold officials accountable for making the right call and reward them for making right calls, right?
Yeah.
We work in the professional world. What happens if you do your job well for 6 months to a year? You probably get a bonus. Maybe you get a little raise, right? Do that for officiating too. Give them better opportunities. Let them call bigger games. Give them more money. But if an official has like a 50% accuracy rate after 1 year, sorry, buddy, you got to go, because you're impacting games, you're impacting lives. And think about it, professional sports, you are impacting people's careers, and you're impacting their careers in college too because of coaching. So that's the thing when it comes to officiating for me. They have an incredibly hard job, and I've known people that have been officials. They love what they do. But it is a very hard job, and they are humans, and you're going to make mistakes. We all make them, but you've got to be held accountable. And when you borderline make the wrong call time and time again, and it impacts games in such a way that impacts people's lives, there's got to be some form of accountability. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we are going to further see changes to the instant replay structure as time goes on. I mean, it's been pretty fluid throughout the history of instant replay. What can be looked at, what can't be looked at. Yeah, and I think where they're continuing to make progress, I think the next level of something I want to see is I want two different tiers of targeting.
Yes, yes.
I want egregious, like, targeting, yes, throw the kid out of the game, he's trying to hurt somebody, and then I want incidental targeting where, yes, it's a penalty, it's 15 yards, but we're not throwing this kid out of the game, or we're not penalizing him the first half of next week's game. That needs to happen. It's a daggum shame that it has not happened to this point.
I've said this for years. I think targeting needs to be almost like you see in basketball, flagrant one, flagrant two. I think, or call it like a technical, where in basketball, if you get one tech, you're fine, but if you get two techs in a game, then you're out. Targeting needs to be something like that, I think, because, look, sometimes it's an accidental targeting, and sometimes the guy's not trying to knock the other guy's head off, right? I mean, sometimes it's just a bad hit, give him the penalty, and then we move on. But throwing the kid out of the game for making a hit where sometimes the offensive player is the one that brings the contact on himself by lowering his head or lowering his body, throwing a kid out of the game for that is not okay.
I go back to the fact that Jacoby McClain was thrown out of the Penn State game last year. If he does not get thrown out of the game, I wholeheartedly believe Auburn wins. Because I think he makes the play on fourth and goal, on the goal line, keeps, I forget who it was, out of the end zone, and Auburn has, it's a momentum play that swings the other way because his instincts were that good, he was that good at diagnosing what was going on and beating you to the spot with his athleticism. I'm not sure, as we've seen this year, the guys that were behind him are not as capable of doing that.
Well, I mean, how many times have you seen a guy get thrown out of the game in the first quarter and it impacts the entire game, or a guy get thrown out in the second half and not be able to start the next week?
You mean a Smoke Monday special?
Yeah, literally, the Smoke Monday special. That's exactly right. I mean, we saw
get thrown
tons
out on the
of times.
First drive on defense, and then you're not there for the rest of the
you're
game.
You're out for the game, and I just think that's not cool.
Well, I like, not only does that Jacoby one stick out to me as awful, it legitimately was not targeting either way. And the SEC sent their head of officials to game day the next week, and they did a little mini feature on it on game day. Granted, it was the SEC. I don't think they were the officials in that game. I think it may have been a Big Ten crew, or it may have been a Pac-12, a neutral crew for that interconference matchup. But that was unacceptable, and in my mind, it changed the outcome of that game. And legitimately, you want to talk about that? Potentially changed the trajectory of Auburn's season. Like, Auburn would have been 7-1 when Mississippi State came around, or when A&M came around, and maybe you got a little more momentum and things play out differently.
And guess what? That official went home, slept at night, and called a game the next week and didn't think twice about it. But look how much it impacted because there is no accountability. That's what I want when it comes to officiating. And again, we've got on this.
Make them sit in front of a mic and talk about calls after the game.
Press conferences after the game. I'd be up for that. I've heard that before, yeah.
Make every official have to answer for every call to the media after the game.
At least give an explanation, yeah.
That is only fair.
Because think about everybody else in this world that has a job. You do it well because you know there are repercussions.
In the NCAA tournament, if a kid has a bad game, messes up, let's think back to Auburn in the Final Four. Samir Dowdy fouled Kyle Guy, and he had to go sit in front of the media and answer questions after the game. Make officials do the same thing. They're grown men.
I agree. Well, we got on this rant tangent, if you will, talking about LSU's head coach Brian Kelly, frustrated with instant replay and how it is, quote, ruining the game. So I think we all kind of agree officiating is not in a good spot. They have an incredibly hard job, but they've got to be better across the board in all sports at all levels. We got to get to a break. 334-321-1390. We ran a little long, but that's okay. We can do what we want, right? It's Friday. Happy Friday. We'll be back on the other side of this break. More of the Friday edition of On the Line.
On the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Question of the day here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. Question of the day, it's simple. What's the game of the week tomorrow in college football? 334-321-1390. What's the biggest game going on tomorrow in your mind? This can be matchup. This can be historical. This can be college football playoff indications. It could be just down and dirty. What is the game of the week tomorrow?
Oh, I think you have to go with the game that is, well, there's two. I forgot about one of them. But you have to start with 9 versus 10. It potentially decides how the Pac-12 shakes out, changes how that conference, their chances of making a college football playoff. UCLA at Oregon, that one's going to be awesome. It's an undefeated UCLA team at 6-0 versus a 5-1 Oregon team in their house. And obviously, I mean, you also have the which Bo Nix shows up factor, which is always a fun little added spice to any game. Do you see the guy who self-destructs and allows his team to lose the game, or do you see the guy who goes nuts in Baton Rouge last year and puts the team on his back, decides he's Johnny Manziel that morning, and just goes out and wins the game?
That is going to be a good one. UCLA and Oregon, of course, that's where College Game Day will be tomorrow. And then 2:30 on Fox, UCLA and Oregon, 9 versus 10. Have we seen UCLA play anybody? I think that is a big question from what they've done. Of course, they've beaten two top 15 teams in a row, Washington and Utah. But again, it is the Pac-12, so you don't truly know what you're getting. This is a massive game because, kind of like you were talking about with the Pac-12 trying to stay alive in the college football playoff conversation, I think it would probably be better for UCLA to win this game in the instance of the Pac-12.
Because they are undefeated, but it'd be really hard if Oregon does not lose another game to not have them squarely in that conversation, especially because there's legitimately a path where the Big 12 self-destructs itself. The SEC could do that and only get one team, maybe. I mean, if one, I guess they're probably going to get two. It's going to be hard to keep the SEC from getting two teams in this year. I don't think Ole Miss is seriously in that picture. I think you're going to see that get exposed this weekend. But, I mean, Tennessee and Georgia and Alabama, I don't think there's a scenario where all three would get in over a one-loss, undefeated in conference play, Pac-12 champion Oregon. I just don't see that.
My game of the week tomorrow that I'm going to be 100% have my eyes on, number 20 Texas at number 11 Oklahoma State, and here's why. Texas is 5-2. Oklahoma State is 5-1. Both of these teams have one loss in the Big 12. Texas is a 6-point favorite on the road at Oklahoma State tomorrow.
Fascinating, isn't it?
Which is very, very interesting. If in this game, you want to talk about college football playoff implications, if Oklahoma State loses, the Big 12 is in trouble because outside of them, they've got TCU, who plays Kansas State, I believe. Yes, they play Kansas State. You want to talk about another game that's got impacts? That one. If Kansas State were to beat TCU, the Big 12's in trouble this weekend because then the Big 12's going to have a couple of teams that have a couple of losses. TCU would have the one. They would have to win out and look really, really good doing it. This is a big, big weekend. If the wrong teams win for the conference this weekend, the Big 12 could watch themselves play right out of the college football playoff.
I'm not sure about that, though, because I think Kansas State at 12-1 would still be in that conversation. I mean, I'll say the same thing about an Oklahoma State team if they go 12-1. I think that they're all right there. I mean, Oklahoma State should have won that game last week, but decided they couldn't score anymore in the middle of the game.
Even if Kansas State wins out and they go 12-1, there's no shot they put them in a college football playoff.
I disagree. If they go undefeated in the Big 12 and win the Big 12 championship, they're in.
I don't think they would.
I disagree.
We can talk more later. We got to get to break. 334-321-1390. More college football talk when we come back.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on this Friday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. Later on in the show, our buddy Jack Hutton will join us in studio making picks for the games around college football. And I kind of liked where we were going in the last segment, talking about a lot of the games coming up tomorrow, because obviously Auburn is on the bye week, so obviously no game to talk about with Auburn. But talking about the games tomorrow in college football, because there are some good ones. It may not be the most exciting week we've had of college football, but there are some big games, and there are some very impactful games, and that's sort of where we were going with the question of the day, which was, what is the biggest game in college football tomorrow? And we got talking about the Big 12, right? And you talked about the Pac-12 a little bit. I was talking about the Big 12 a little bit. We'd love to hear from you. Which games are you watching tomorrow and why? 334-321-1390. Since Auburn's on the bye week, you got to watch somebody else. Who's it going to be and why? 334-321-1390. We were talking about how the Big 12 has some big games going on this weekend. Same. With Texas, yep. Oklahoma State, and Kansas State, TCU. Because, again, there are some instances where if the wrong team wins this weekend, the Big 12 could watch their college football playoff chances really go down.
I agree with the Texas-Oklahoma State game, despite I have one buddy who's a Texas fan who swears up and down if they win out, they're in the college football playoff, which is
Texas?
Crazy.
He said no.
But
no, there's no shot. Because there's three or four better teams in their own conference.
It doesn't necessarily matter what happens in the Kansas State TCU game to me. That doesn't dash the it hurts the hopes, let's be honest. It does. If TCU loses to Kansas State and then everybody in the conference has at least one loss, yes, it hurts the chances. And it makes it more difficult. Somebody would have to win out. But if Kansas State or TCU or Oklahoma State go 12-1 with a Big 12 championship, they are getting into the playoff. Under the way it's looking right now, absolutely. 100%.
It could, but I think
tell me who's going to get in. I mean, unless you have a 12-1 or undefeated Pac-12 champion, and then you've got Clemson and a big, but
that's the problem,
saying that we are going, like, this kills their playoff hopes, is I don't think that's realistic.
I don't think it fully kills it. It's definitely, like you said, it's going to hurt it. But looking at some other teams around college football and looking at other conferences around college football, I think there's a big chance where, if the right teams don't win this weekend and for the Big 12, their chances are going to continue to decline
it'll go down, but it's not over.
It's not over, but it's not going to be looking good, because you've still got Clemson in the ACC. You still have Ohio State or Michigan out of the Big Ten. You've still got Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee out of the SEC. You've still got Oregon and UCLA making some noise in the Pac-12. Plus, you've got three or four teams making noise out of the Big 12. So
it becomes a legitimate conversation. Where if you have a one-loss Pac-12 team win the Pac-12 and a one-loss Big 12 team win the Big 12, that's your discussion. It's going to be whoever comes out of the SEC between Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee. Probably Ohio State, maybe Michigan. One of those, yeah. So that the SEC gets one, the Big Ten gets one. I don't see anybody beating Clemson right now, because I think that while that conference, I felt like the middle of that conference rose a little bit this year. I think that there's some solid teams, because you have Syracuse, you have Wake Forest, you have NC State, who obviously their season got upended by the fact that their quarterback's out for the year.
Right.
But I think the middle of that conference rose, but Clemson's still head and shoulders better than everybody. Although, I will say, Syracuse this weekend. Syracuse has this weird history of mucking those games up and making them ugly and making it a dirty, grimy game and being there at the end with Clemson. So it wouldn't shock me if they are there at the end with a chance to potentially win. But I'm going to make the assumption, which is a big assumption right now, that Clemson's going to win out. So Clemson is in, an SEC team is in, a Big Ten team is in. If you have a one-loss conference champion out of the Pac-12 or the Big 12, I think right now, because both those conferences have been fairly strong this year, especially the Pac-12. The Pac-12 has been stronger than it's been in a long time. A one-loss conference champion out of those two conferences this year is going to get in over a second Big Ten or a second SEC team, especially the Big Ten, because the Big Ten is weak this year.
Yeah,
the Big Ten has two good teams, and that's it.
For sure. I think getting to when you look at that situation, and I think this is relevant because we're going into week eight of college football. You've got about five games left of the regular season, then conference championships, and this is where games start to really, really matter and impact the college football playoff. And when you get to that point, like you're talking about, the college football playoff committee is going to have to look at the conferences themselves and say, okay, which conference is stronger? Which wins are bigger and mean more on the schedule?
To me, it would the discussion comes down to which Pac-12 team is the one-loss conference champion at the end. If it's Oregon, they probably beat out the Big 12. If it's UCLA, probably 50-50. If it's USC, I don't think the Pac-12 beats out the Big 12. Because USC is fortunate that their schedule was a little softer than the other ones. On the flip side of that, the Big 12, you have to run through everybody in the conference. So, like, you can definitively say, hey, we got tested by everybody, and our conference is decently strong this year. The Pac-12, because they're in the true, they're in a bigger conference, they're in true divisions right now, it would be a little more of a discussion of whose schedule outweighs what happened in the Big 12. And I think that Oregon, if their only loss is to a top three, top four, top five Georgia team in week one, and then they showed basically dominance from that point, they would beat out the Big 12.
But I think it's pretty dangerous of you to assume that only one SEC team would get into the college football playoff with as a four-team format because of look at how this could go. Though.
I know. It's just,
you know what I mean? Like, if you get down to that point, and let's say it's Alabama, or let's say it's, either Alabama from the West and either Georgia or Tennessee, who's going to be undefeated because they play each other in a couple of weeks, and let's say Alabama wins, right? Let's say it's Alabama-Tennessee in the SEC championship game, and Alabama wins, and that's Tennessee's only loss. You're telling me that team doesn't get in, right?
I mean, but there's a real scenario where that happens, and the SEC can absolutely get two. I think it's there are plenty of scenarios, but I think that this is the first year in a little while where the Power Five conferences are all have a strong enough claim to legitimately push at least one team in.
If the season keeps going like it is right now. Yeah, I agree.
It can unravel for sure.
Right. But I agree. I like how you put that, where this is the first time in the four-team college football playoff era.
The Pac-12's been down for so long. The ACC's been garbage, and then they had Clemson down last year. The Big Ten has two legitimately good, probably great teams. Now I think Ohio State's better, and that conference is down, but you're not going to keep the Big Ten out of it. Somebody's going to come away upset.
Yep.
And I think that there is a situation where they go more diplomatic this year because of the strength across the country. And rather than letting conferences get two in, conferences start getting one in this year. Just because you can make the argument the Pac-12 has been the second strongest league in the country this year.
Yeah, and that's a fair way to put it. Now that for the first time, what it seems like in the college football playoff era, that all five Power Five conferences offer.
There's a legitimate claim for each conference to get somebody in right now.
Right now.
There's plenty of time for all of this to blow up.
And exactly.
Absolutely.
And we could be sitting here in 2 months and saying, well, two from the SEC and one from the Big Ten and one from the ACC and bam, we're done.
Which is what we've almost become accustomed to at this point.
Exactly. So there's time for this to blow up. But as of right now, it's really, really interesting. And that's why, again, some of the games this weekend, UCLA-Oregon, Texas-Oklahoma State, Kansas State-TCU, Mississippi State-Alabama. I mean, those are big games. Syracuse and Clemson. I mean, those are big games inside of their own conferences that have big college football playoff implications as of right now. And if you want my opinion on what we're going to be talking about in 2 months from now when we're trying to figure out who is going to be in the college football playoff, I think either one of the Big 12 or Pac-12 conferences will have played themselves out of the conversation. I think that's fair to say. And that's a pretty fair assumption that one of those two, if not both, the Pac-12 and the Big 12, will blow up on each other. They will beat each other up like they've done in the past, and they will not be a part of the conversation.
I mean, I'm looking at the Big 12 standings right now, and when you look at these teams, there are teams that maybe are not good, but I have a hard time saying any of these teams are just awful. Like, any of these teams can beat anybody on any given week. I mean, it's almost kind of NFL-like in that aspect. I mean, Iowa State, all of their losses are pretty much by, like, one score almost. I mean, they've played a lot of teams really, really tough, and they have the worst record in the conference. Oklahoma, I know they got drummed by Texas, but they're dangerous. We saw them get Kansas last week. Texas Tech, we saw them get Texas. Baylor, that offense is really, really good. West Virginia, they're capable. I think they're, if you want to make a pick right now, worst team in that conference, it's West Virginia. But look at them. They've got four teams. They're tied with three teams and ahead of two of Oklahoma and Iowa State in their conference right now. Kansas, they're up this year for the first time in a while. Then you got four teams in the top 20. The Big 12 is strong this year. And the entire conference rose up together. The Pac-12, the majority of that conference rose up together. Oregon State's a capable team. Washington State's a capable team.
Which is the direction I was about to go.
Colorado's awful, and Colorado and Cal are really bad. Fair. But there are, like, you've seen the Pac-12 and the Big 12 get significantly better as a group. And then the top four in the Pac-12 are all in the top 15.
Which is where I was going to go, is I've got the Pac-12 pulled up right now. You've got three teams that are legitimate contenders as of right now, UCLA, Oregon, and USC. You've got two or three teams in there, Utah, Oregon State, and Washington, that are 5-2 that you really don't want to mess around with because they could beat you if you don't show up and play. You've got teams like Arizona State, Washington State, Stanford, who may not have a ton of wins, but again, you don't want to mess around with those teams because...
I'd throw Arizona in that over Stanford, honestly.
You could. Yeah, you could definitely switch those out, but that's at the bottom of the conference.
Cal almost beat Notre Dame on the road.
And Stanford, yeah, exactly. So the Pac-12 is the same way where... these teams at the top, the three that are still in contention, they've still got to finish out the Pac-12 schedule. And we've seen it every single year just about where these conferences like the Pac-12 and like the Big 12, they play each other and they beat each other. And one team just can't seem to get on top of everybody besides maybe one. I mean, we've seen Washington make it, we've seen Oregon make it, and we've seen Oklahoma make it. But in those years, those teams were dominant in their conference. Right now, you can't just pick one out of the Pac-12 and say that team's going to do it. You can't pick one out of the Big 12 and confidently say they are going to do it.
I would honestly say that when you look at the full scope of the conference, ceiling to floor, the most dangerous conference right now is the Big 12. Because legitimately... the first-place team in the conference, the last-place team in the conference can beat them any given week. Anybody in that conference can win against anybody in that conference.
That's fair.
You can't say that about any other conference right now.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's a really fair statement.
You can say that about like the Big Ten West because they're all bad together. You can say that about probably the ACC Coastal. You can't really say that about a full conference.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that, again, that's what makes it so difficult, and that's what makes it hard for me to believe that at the beginning of December, when we're going into conference championship week, that we're going to be still having this same conversation of, okay, there's eight or nine teams from five conferences that are good enough to make the playoff. Who gets in and why, right? I don't think we're going to be having that conversation. I think it's going to dwindle down.
That's probably fair, but I think that there are paths for one of the most intriguing college football conversations we've had, college football playoff conversations we've had since it started.
And this is why the college football playoff is expanding, because of situations like this where there's a possibility, like you said, there's a path to where you get to that point and you say, okay, we've got to dwindle this thing down to four, but there's 7, 8, 9, 10 teams that legitimately could be in a playoff. And that's where the system is going to break down. That is why it's expanding from four teams. That's why. I mean, if this holds true to where we get to it and each Power 5 conference has at least one team, three or four of them have two teams to offer, there's going to be some folks that are really upset. And you know what? I hope it gets to that point, because that just further proves that the college football playoff needs to be expanded. And that makes them work a little bit harder rather than saying, here's two or three SEC teams and a Big Ten team, go at it.
It would be fascinating this year under 12 teams, because you would have three SEC teams in, two Big Ten teams. You'd have two or three teams from the Big 12, two or three teams from the Pac 12,
one or two from the ACC.
You'd have one. I think that this
maybe
I know
two.
Syracuse is undefeated. I think that this is where the season starts to turn for them. I think the back half's significantly harder. Wake could be that second one. UNC's defense is too bad.
Right, that's NC right. You would have one confidently.
By the way, if you look at the ACC, that's about as lopsided of a conference as there is.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlantic has Clemson, Syracuse, Wake Forest, FSU, NC State. The Coastal has UNC.
Yep. Yeah. So, look, again, this further proves why the college football playoff needs to be expanded. But at this point in the season, it's really fun to look at it and talk about the different possibilities and how if this holds true and teams continue to win and the right teams continue to win based off of their record and standings in their conference, this thing could get really ugly but interesting down the stretch. And I think there's some games this weekend that play have some big, big impacts on the college football playoff. We got to get to our final break here in hour number one. 334-321-1390 is the number to put you through to us. We'd love for you to join in on this Friday afternoon. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one of the Friday edition of On the Line.
On the Line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
All right, welcome back to On the Line. This is Carter Bird. We are joined by our Friday second hour guest, a segment early, Jack Hutton. Jack, how are you, buddy?
5 minutes early. I'm
wow.
Doing well.
Normally late. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
We are so proud of you. Normally it's about time that I come screaming into the parking lot about right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. You normally there's come in on like a
times,
wheel.
Yeah. There's some times that like you're drifting around the final corner and your truck is fishtailing into the parking lot. But over the break, I told y'all that I have a big claim that I want to put out there.
Yeah, we are just on the edge of our seat. We cannot wait.
That I think could create an interesting discussion. All right. Looking at the SEC, each division, we've had the conversation before, which division is stronger than the other?
As of right now?
Well, yeah. Well, we've talked about it before.
We have this, yeah.
I think I'm going to make a claim that Texas A&M, South Carolina is going to go an extremely long way for deciding that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because either the East is super top heavy and the West is deeper, or the East is just flat out better. And I think Texas A&M, South Carolina decides which division in the SEC is better this season.
I think right now, top to bottom, in my opinion, the SEC West is still the better side of the conference, even top to bottom, even with Auburn and Arkansas playing the way they are, even with Texas A&M playing the way they are. But top heavy-wise, like the top three, it's easily the SEC East. I mean, they've got two in the top four. I mean,
well, they got three in the top 19.
Exactly. So the top of the division, it's the SEC East, but still top to bottom. If you lined up two versus two, all the way down seven versus seven.
I'm also saying this because I believe that Ole Miss is going to go lose to LSU this weekend, and it's going to start a very, very bumpy back half for the Ole Miss Rebels. I think they're going to go 1-4 down the stretch here, fellas. I think they're ending the season 8-4, and that's what you are going to see out of Ole Miss. So I think that seven next to their name is fraudulent. But I think the South Carolina-Texas A&M game, we're going to point to it at the end of the year, is this is the moment that the SEC has established that they are better than the West in the 2022 college football season.
I am interested to see both Mississippi teams really down the stretch, because Ole Miss has been, you know, like
State
you say, they've been
hurt
kind of
my soul last
and
week.
And I know it was we were so high on Mississippi State there for a little while, and then they come out and honestly kind of lay an egg against Kentucky.
And then they're going to see a very angry Alabama team at Alabama this weekend.
See how they respond to that, really, is how it's going to be. Because, I mean, Alabama feels like they should have had that
one. When we talk about these games in the second hour, I have some depressing stats that have swayed my opinion in that game and have me looking less hopeful for the Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Yeah, it's not going to be pretty. Look, when you talk about the different divisions from the SEC, whether you're talking the West or the West is better than the East. From top to bottom, it's always been that way. It will always be that way because Vanderbilt's on the other side. We got to get to hour number two, 334-321-1390. Join us at hour number two. We'd love to hear from you.
Production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird.
You're on the line. You're on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday. Hope you're all doing well at the end of the work week. Just a couple of more hours and you are out of there. Hope you're all doing well. It's a gorgeous Friday afternoon here in the Auburn Opelika area. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird. We are joined by our good buddy Jack Hutton in studio for all of hour number two. We're going to be talking college football, making some picks, talking about some of the bigger games around the SEC and around the country here in hour number two. Of course, Auburn is on the bye this week, so no game to talk about for them, but we'll talk about the games around the conference and what they mean and a little bit of the weight that they carry this weekend as we get into week 8 of college football. If you missed any of hour number 1, be sure to go and find the podcast. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast, or you can find it at ESPNAU.com. You can find it commercial free right after the show, so be sure you go and find that. Also at ESPNAU.com, be sure to get your picks in for the SEC Football Challenge. That closes tonight at midnight for week 8 of the college football season. So be sure you go and get your picks in for that. Some great prizes given away every single week. And then, of course, at the end of the year, whoever has the best record, you're going to win that 50-inch 4K Ultra HD Smart TV. So be sure you get your picks in, ESPNAU.com. Click on the contest tab. We have a couple of different contests going on right now. There's a Halloween. You can send a picture in of your pet dressed up in a costume. You have a chance to win some prizes if you want to get into that as well. So lots of good stuff going on. Go to ESPNAU.com or you can go to AUNetwork.com as well. But hour number two officially underway here on ESPN 106.7. 334-321-1390 is the number to put you through to us. Call in, be a part of the show, be on the line. Again, 334-321-1390. What games are you watching this weekend? What are your picks for some of the games this weekend? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Again, 334-321-1390. Jack, how are you, good buddy?
Fellas, how are we?
We are doing fantastic on this Friday afternoon. You'll be heading to Prattville in a little bit. Of course, you're with the Auburn High School Sports Network crew of Scott Bagwell, Rob Pate, and yourself. You guys are going to Prattville tonight.
Prattville, yes. Auburn going up there. Auburn is 7-1 on the season after taking a loss last week. They went up to Central. Fought hard, but just a couple too many turnovers in the first part of that game let them down. So Auburn needing to win out to win the region, but still looking pretty good for playoff contention.
Overall. So that'll be at 6:30 tonight over on our sister station, Wings 94.3. You can catch Scott Bagwell, Rob Pate, and our very own Jack Hutton will be with them. Broadcast time, 6:30, kickoff at 7. And then Carter and I will be going over to Lee Scott. We do the Lee Scott Sports Network. The Lee Scott Warriors undefeated on the season. They are region champs as of last week. We have got Fort Dale tonight over on AU 100. That's 100.3 on your radio dial. We'll go on the air 6:30 6:30 kickoff at 7 for Lee Scott and Fort Dale. So looking forward to that as well. But, fellas, let's get into some picks around college football this weekend. There's some big games. Carter and I were talking about it in the first hour. Some games that they've got a little weight behind them this weekend, some impact, if you will. There's a couple of games already been played. There's some games tonight as well. But we'll go ahead and get into the games going on tomorrow. Iowa at Ohio State. We've seen this Ohio State team pretty much roll through their Big Ten schedule so far. You've got C.J. Stroud, who is probably the favorite right in front of Hendon Hooker to win the Heisman Trophy right now. Any chance that Iowa gives Ohio State struggle tomorrow, or do the Buckeyes just continue to roll?
I mean, they can't score. How are you going to a team that scores 50 on the other sidelines? The over-under in this game is 49, and Ohio State's going to do it by themselves. I know Iowa's got a good defense, but, like, let's be real. Spencer Petras is the worst quarterback I've ever seen at the college football level.
That is a statement right there.
Their offense is so unbearably bad, and the issue is the head coach won't make a change about it because his son is the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that'll do it. Hey, man, look, give some respect. They lost last week 9-6.
And that's probably the most points they've scored all year.
It's pretty much sums up what Iowa is as a program right now.
They beat South Dakota State 7-3 with a field goal and two safeties.
Touchdown. That's the funniest part about that game to me, is that it wasn't a touchdown. It's two safeties and a field goal. So everybody looks at it and goes, it's not a normal score.
We should never talk about Iowa on this program ever again.
Well, look, Ohio State's going to roll. I don't know. Yeah. The next time they're going to play they're going to play a good team this year is when they play Michigan at the end.
I'll say this. This is interesting about Iowa. They're holding opponents to under 10 points a game, which is
their defense
really impressive.
Is awesome.
Their defense is
But their
very
offense
good.
Is the worst thing I've ever watched.
Yeah, yep. It's not good. Look, Ohio State's going to roll. They've got Penn State coming up next week, but I don't think Penn State's all that good. I've been saying it since the start of the season. I even said it after they did what they did to Auburn. I still don't think Penn State's all that good. So, look, the Big Ten is bad this year. It is not that good.
The Big Ten has two good teams.
It's bad. And so, whoever wins Ohio State versus Michigan, that team will go to the playoff. And if what we were talking about in the first hour ends up happening and multiple conferences have teams that they could represent in the playoff, the loser of that Ohio State-Michigan game may be held out because of what some other conferences do. But how about this one? Syracuse and Clemson tomorrow. Undefeated Syracuse, number 14 in the country. They travel to Clemson, South Carolina to take on number 5 Clemson. This one could get a little interesting just depending on what Syracuse team shows up. I don't know what Clemson is because they haven't had to prove a whole lot to me just yet. Who wins tomorrow, Syracuse or Clemson?
Look, I think Clemson has shown that they're at least a little bit battle-tested. They went and had that game at Wake Forest. They handled business against NC State. They even they dominated FSU last week. The score is not indicative of that game. They dominated that game. Clemson's really, really good. Syracuse is one of the feel-good stories of the season. Dino Babers was potentially on the hot seat, and then here he is, 6-0 right now, going to Clemson. It's a 14-point line, two scores. I think Syracuse is every bit capable of keeping it tight, mucking it up. They've done it in the past, even with worse teams. I think that they will keep it close, but I do think Clemson wins.
I think Sean Tucker for Syracuse is probably one of the most underrated backs in the country right now.
Have you seen his, I can't remember if it's Sunday or Monday, he posts a tweet where he evaluates his performance from the week before.
Yes,
I'm gonna pull one up.
Yeah,
it is awesome.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
He's evaluating his own play on Twitter?
Yes, and they are phenomenal tweets.
It's really good.
I don't know about that one. Awesome. Right, here's his last one. Saturday, we won Syracuse 24, NC State 9. I'm pleased with the outcome of the game and how our fans rocked the dome. 6-0, but we're not done. I'm pleased with my performance, but there's more I can do. The grind never stops, nor will number 34. 14 carries for 98 yards and a touchdown. 4 receptions for 14 yards. Hashtag pleased.
Yeah, he's been very.
He
good
does it every week.
Backfield.
Every week, the performance is I am not pleased with my performance, or I am pleased with it.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
I love it.
He is picking up, if anybody's playing college fantasy football, he's picking up a lot of fantasy points right now just because he's very good out of the backfield.
Because he wants to please himself
of his performance. Yes, he wants to make sure that his chakra is good enough, I guess. I don't know. What is happening? I like Sean Tucker, and I like the matchup against Clemson's defense. Defense only allowing 170 yards rushing per game right now for Clemson is pretty darn good for that Tiger defense. I think Syracuse is going to rely, though, on the arm of Garrett Schrader. He's been pretty reliable with the football this season. I like what he's done so far. I'm still not ready to call him a mobile quarterback as much as Carter is. But I think Clemson does end up getting this one.
Yeah, I like Clemson to win. The points-wise, I don't know. I'm not comfortable enough with Clemson just yet. The bet that I would put on this game would be the over of 49.5. I think these teams are going to score. I know Clemson's defense is good, but Syracuse's offense has been really good also. And I like over 49.5. I think this could be an interesting ball game. I like Clemson to win. This is a game where I think for the ACC, with as bad as the conference is, if you have one loss, unless you go out and win your championship game, I don't think you make a playoff. I think this will be a game where Clemson wins, Syracuse will end up being knocked out of the playoff in any sort of conversation, and Clemson will move on.
Talking about Garrett Schrader being a mobile quarterback, last season he ran the ball 173 times for 780 yards and 14 touchdowns.
Right.
That is a dual threat quarterback. That's about as good as he gets.
Decent.
But that's last year. Look at what he's doing this year. Look at what all his stats have been in the air this year. He's got 12 touchdowns, three receptions.
He has a couple
of touchdowns rushing on the season.
He has 78 rushes for three. He has significantly fewer rushes, less than half, and about half the yard, less than a little bit of half the yards, and five rushing touchdowns. He's still a mobile quarterback.
Not as much as I think.
He ran for almost 800 yards last year. Do not tell me he's not a mobile quarterback.
He's not going to run for that again, though.
Okay, you yelled at me for us talking about Iowa. Now we're having an argument about Syracuse football.
About an undefeated team. Don't even give me
about
that
Syracuse
garbage.
Football? Come on,
about
folks.
A quarterback that's actually capable of scoring points. That's totally different.
I mean, that's fair. Let's move on to some other games going on around the country tomorrow. 334-321-1390. We'd love to hear what games you're watching tomorrow. What are your picks for some of the biggest games going on in college football? Number 9, UCLA. Number 10, Oregon. Undefeated UCLA. 5-1, Oregon. Who wins tomorrow and why? I think this could be a very, very interesting game. Carter, you and I talked about the impact of the Pac-12 in this football game. What is basically at stake for the conference in this game and moving forward after this? Who wins and why?
I'm so split on this one, but I'm going to go with Oregon. I think they've got better athletes across the board. The question mark is the Bo Nix factor. Bo Nix can win this game. Bo Nix can lose this game. And I think that it depends on who shows up. I'm going to assume, because he's playing in the Pac-12 and he's had a really good year, that's going to continue. I'm going to take Oregon. But I think it's going to be close.
Yeah, I agree with the assessment, Carter. I still don't get UCLA. So UCLA starts off the season, they take care of their cupcakes, but then Carter almost calls the upset of the century with South Alabama going up there and almost pulling that one out. 32-31 was that final.
But they didn't.
Yes. Since then, though, UCLA has ripped off three wins, two of which have been over top 15 teams. I don't know how – I'm not sold on Washington. I think Michael Penix Jr. is fine, but – I'm not sold on Washington. I'm not sold on Utah after losing to Florida in the swamp. So I just don't know how great UCLA is. At least the Oregon offense has shown it can put up a ton of points and hang around with good teams. So I'll take Oregon at home, being at Autzen. But like Carter said, this is probably going to be a close one.
Is DTR a mobile quarterback?
DTR is a mobile quarterback. He's a dual threat quarterback.
Well, fascinating.
There's a difference between a dual threat and a mobile
Garrett
quarterback.
Garrett Schrader has more rushes and yards and touchdowns than he does on the ground this year.
There's a difference between a dual threat and a
check
mobile
and
quarterback.
Mate.
That is not check and mate.
Nothing else. Okay, I thought Jack had another response, but I guess not. Look, UCLA, Oregon tomorrow, 2:30 on Fox. It's a top 10 game. Rankings-wise, it's the biggest game of the weekend. Look, I want to pick Oregon. I really do. I think they're playing well. I think what Carter and I talked about at the beginning of the season after they got blown out by Georgia, we talked about it before and after that football game, where if Oregon were to lose that, they would sort of just fall back and nobody would pay them a whole lot of attention, and then they would have a pretty good sneaky season, and here we are getting into the back half of the season, and they are having a sneaky good season. They're playing better. Bo Nix looks really, really good in his games, and they're scoring a lot of points. The defense is playing good enough. They didn't play great against Washington State, but Stanford and Arizona, they held both of those teams to 27 and 22 points. And then down the stretch, after this UCLA game, Oregon has Cal, Colorado, Washington, Utah, and Oregon State. So the last two games of the season, I think Oregon's going to get tested a little bit against UCLA. Both of you guys picked Oregon to win this football game. I like Oregon to win, but I'm going to take UCLA to cover 6.5. I think this could be a weird game. I almost want to pick UCLA just because you both picked Oregon. I'm not going to do it. I am going to pick Oregon. I think they're better. I think they're playing better, and I think they do somehow win this football game. Maybe being at home gives them a little bit of an edge. We're going through some of the college football games tomorrow. We'll get into the SEC matchups a little bit later at 3:30, but how about Texas and Oklahoma State? Number 20, Texas on the road at number 11, Oklahoma State. Texas 5-2, Oklahoma State 5-1. What's interesting about this is Texas is a 6-point favorite on the road at Oklahoma State.
I think that is the respect that Texas is getting with Quinn Ewers. And Sark with the play calling. I think it's disrespectful to Oklahoma State. I think they're really, really solid. I think that they're going to bounce back after a tough loss last week. Give me, hey, go Pokes, man. Give me Oklahoma State in this one.
I agree. I very much agree. I think Oklahoma State got, I think they got a little unlucky last week. I think they're coming into this one. Texas still haven't impressed me in a big way. I think Quinn Ewers is perfectly good enough at quarterback for Texas to stay in the hunt here. But they haven't been the same since they've been without him. So, yeah, give me Oklahoma State in this one.
Last week, Oklahoma State played TCU. I called TCU to win that football game. I still think Oklahoma State is better. They're also my Big 12 champions.
Didn't we all call TCU, though?
I think so. But here's the thing about that game was Oklahoma State went up by double digits and blew it,
You're
and
right.
TCU came back. That's what's so shocking about that game was, yes, we picked TCU, but I don't think any of us would have picked TCU to go down big early and come back and win it, right? I didn't have it playing out that way, but TCU does get the W. Oklahoma State's still a really good football team, and they've gotten better, I think, every week. Even after blowing it against TCU last week, I still like Oklahoma State. I still like them to win the Big 12. I think their defense is playing better. It's getting better. The offense, it does what it needs to do. At home against Texas, the fact that they are 6-point underdogs is ridiculous. I think it's a shame. I think it's embarrassing for Oklahoma State. I think they're going to show up and prove why this is the wrong line. Give me Oklahoma State at home. I hate for us all to sit here and agree on it, but I think Oklahoma State wins this football game. Not because Texas is bad. I think Oklahoma State's just the better team. I really, really do. I think they are going to win outright. Give me Oklahoma State to keep their college football playoff hopes alive. Looking at... Well, how about this? Let's get to a break. We'll come back. We'll have question of the day. We'll talk about some of the other games. And then to round out the show, we'll talk the big games around the SEC, talk about the impact they have on this season and what they mean for the upcoming weeks. 334-321-1390. We'd love to hear from you here on this Friday afternoon.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back here on the Friday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins, Carter Bird, and Jack Cutton with you here on ESPN 106.7. Just to let you all know, the heated debate about Syracuse quarterback continued on through the break. So just that's what I deal with every Friday here.
Scott Bagwell got in on the conversation and it sounded like he sided with me.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't. He said there's a difference between a dual threat and a mobile quarterback.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. It is falling apart here on this Friday afternoon, but we have got
this
to get to.
This is what happens on bye weeks.
Yeah.
Are we going to do this tomorrow?
Bye week.
We're going to debate this tomorrow. Dadgummit, Carter.
What do you mean tomorrow? Y'all are not here
tomorrow, buddy.
There's no next week.
Yeah, next week. Get on the same page,
I'm
man.
I'm all over the
place. Oh, my goodness. We got to get to the phone lines. 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. Happy Friday, man.
Happy Friday, guys. Put me in the camp. There's a difference between the dual threat quarterback and a mobile quarterback.
No.
Yes, there is.
Yes, there is. No, there's not. Tell me what the difference is, Terry.
Nick Marshall and Jared Stenham.
Okay. Nick Marshall is a dual threat quarterback.
Right.
Jared Stenham. Yes.
Was a joke.
Carter's looking at me weird. Nick Marshall's a dual threat quarterback.
I mean, he's your mobile quarterback. Right, he's your mobile quarterback. He's the
but he
one
can
that
throw
that,
too.
A little.
Well,
Jared Schrader can throw and run.
No,
I thought it was perfect that Jared Stenham got drafted by the Patriots because selfish and ego deserve selfish and ego.
I mean, that's what. Look, I've said for years that Jared Stidham, the biggest mistake he ever made was coming to Auburn.
I agree.
I think that was a horrible decision by him, but he did it anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, any quarterback that came to get developed by Gus Malzahn, it was a horrible decision.
Yeah. But what you got, Terry? What you got for us?
Does Utah and Oregon play this year? Have they already played, or do they play?
Does Oregon? That's a good question, actually.
Because I think if either one of them ran the table, that loss to Georgia by Oregon and the way they lost.
They do,
At Florida, they do?
Yeah, okay. They play the second to last game of the season. That's what I forgot to look at that earlier. Yeah, Oregon plays Utah November 19th, so the second to last game.
Keep in mind, Utah hammered them twice last year.
I'm sorry, Carter.
I said keep in mind, Utah hammered them twice last year.
Mm. Interesting.
And so,
I think it was 76-17 was the final score, like combined in both games.
Well, let me play the devil's advocate. Well, it didn't matter. Didn't have Bo Nix that time.
That's no. You're right.
You're right.
They have legitimately upgraded at the quarterback position.
Yeah, but is that that much of an upgrade? Because remember when he went against people have compared Utah to an SEC top team.
Yeah,
when he gets Georgia, he got it handed to him.
He did, but I think at the same time that was week one. Now look, Georgia is better than any team that Oregon will play in the regular season.
Jacob.
Oh, I know it still counts.
Question for you, Terry: Would Oregon beat Florida right now?
Probably.
Well, Utah lost to Florida, did they not?
Okay. Well, you can't look at it that way. I know that's easy way to look at it, but you can't look at it that way.
I know. I just thought it was worth mentioning.
If you're gonna go that way, then you have to go by what I said about Trent Dilfer's got a Super Bowl ring, but Dan Marino doesn't. But who was better?
That's fair. Look, I think with Oregon, I think they're getting better. I think they're playing better. I think Bo Nix is looking good. Now they are again. They're playing Pac-12 teams. I mean, they've got to play Cal next week, so I'm sure Bo Nix is going to look pretty darn good against Cal. But if Oregon is to run the table at this point, and they do have that one loss, I would want to see them play another SEC team like a Georgia to see if they've gotten any better. I mean, I think not that they would, and not that they would win, but I would at least like to see it happen.
I believe this is a year that somebody has legitimate argument to get in, doesn't get in. And then we have the argument started to get to the playoff team, the 12 expansion. When year does that take place?
22 years from now?
Five, is that right? 25, maybe. I think. Maybe is when the new is. But that's sort of what we talked about in the first hour, Terry. I don't know if you caught all of it, but that's sort of what Carter and I got into the discussion of was for the first time in many, many years under the college football playoff format that we have now, this is if it all holds like it is right now, you're going to have all Power 5 teams that have at least one representative that could go, and some of the conferences are going to have two if it all plays out like it is right now.
Well, I mean, you go by now. How many times would Auburn have gotten in? A couple I can think of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They would have gotten in 17.
19?
19 would have been really close. I forget where Auburn was ranked after the Iron Bowl, but it would have been close.
Yeah, I told some friends of mine up in Birmingham that are huge Alabama fans. I said, I want Alabama to get in. I want them to win the whole thing because I'm looking forward to spending $24.99 on a T-shirt that says Auburn 26, National Champion 14.
I mean,
take care, guys.
Yeah, we appreciate. Yeah, you too, Terry. We appreciate the call. But it goes back to the conversation we had in the first hour is if everything plays out like it is right now, which I don't think it will happen. But if it does, that means a Pac-12 team, a Big 12 team, win out and look like they do right now. ACC has Clemson. SEC, Big Ten have at least one. You're going to have the conversation, and they're going to have to leave at least one team out that's going to be upset, if not multiple teams. Now, again, I think, like I said back in the first hour, between the Pac-12 and the Big 12, one of those conferences, if not both, will play themselves out of it before this is all said and done.
Yeah, yeah, I think so, too. I think the Pac-12 is probably the conference that gets left out. The Big 12 is the conference that probably gets left out just because there's way too much parity going on with it.
And we talked about that in the first hour, the fact that anybody, the teams at the bottom of that conference can legitimately beat the teams at the top. The ceiling and the floor are the closest in that conference and than any other conference. When you look at the full scope of that conference, it's probably the hardest to go undefeated in right now.
Right.
When you look at just the where the best team is and where the worst team is.
I mean, you look at it total by total, you've got both Kansas teams coming in with one loss now. You've got TCU.
Two for Kansas.
But you got TCU, who is an undefeated team.
Undefeated, 6-0.
Still undefeated team.
And they have Kansas State this weekend, the second best team in the Big 12.
Right. I know there's some people that still say Texas has a shot at the college football playoff. I don't think that's true. But it's still one that, you know, you go out and that's still somebody that you have to go through in the Big 12. So,
well, Jacob was making the argument earlier that it'd be tough to get a one-loss Big 12 champion in. So
No, I said a one-loss Kansas State team. There's a difference. If it's TCU,
they can win the Big 12.
They can't. They won't.
They can go undefeated in the Big 12, win the conference championship.
But it goes back to
why would they not be
to
in
part
over,
of the conversation?
One of the other ones.
Because if it's if
they
there's a
beaten everybody, they
if the
they
option
to
take Kansas State in that situation over like a one-loss Georgia or Tennessee. They're going to put that SEC team over Kansas State, I promise. Nobody wants to watch Kansas State. They're not going to put Kansas State in there. They won't do it.
That defeats the whole purpose of the college football playoff, though, in terms of picking the teams that deserve to get in.
It's not about that. It's about the money, man.
No.
It is.
I know it is, but, like, they can't do that. People would riot.
I agree with that. It shouldn't be, but it is. And that's right.
We got 30 more minutes here on this Friday afternoon. 334-321-1390. Call in and join us.
You are on the line with Jacob Goertz and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goertz, Carter Bird, and Jack Cutton joining us in studio for all of hour number two. 334-321-1390 is the number to put you through to us as we are talking college football. The game's going on this weekend and getting into some colorful debates about what the college football playoff is going to look like, because this is what's exciting about the college football season, is because where we are right now going into week eight, these conversations, it's time to start having these conversations, because the games going on impact what the college football playoff is going to look like. So we've started talking about the college football games outside of the SEC, but let's get into the big ones around the conference this weekend.
Wait, we have to talk about Kansas State TCU.
Okay.
Before we go to the SEC, because of the love that Jack and I have for K-State, we got to talk about that game.
Look, I can't help that you get your feelings hurt when Kansas State doesn't get love. I can't help that.
They're so good and they're so fun.
Emo.
This game has a chance to be the most fun game of the weekend, actually.
It does. It really does. And you know what? Unfortunately, it's very underrated. Kansas State 17, TCU number 8. Of course, TCU, they slayed the Giant in Kansas when they were everybody's favorite team. And now Kansas State is a very quiet 5-1, 3-0 in the Big 12. This will be 7 o'clock on FS1. It's a great game. TCU favored by 3.5. I don't know. I'm going to go TCU just because I think they're really good, and I watched them beat Oklahoma State last week, coming back from a double digit deficit, and they came back and beat Oklahoma State. I'm going to pick TCU. I think it'll be a fun one. Total's 54.5. I think you could see a lot more points than that. I like TCU to win this one, fellas.
My question with this game is: at what point does TCU run out of gas? Go look at their schedule right now. Their last four games on the road at SMU in their rivalry game, the battle for the Iron Skillet. Then Oklahoma against a ranked team there, at Kansas, which was game day and a ranked matchup there, then Oklahoma State, where they had to go to overtime, come back and win that, then they rush the field, which don't even get me started on that. I think that's bogus to rush the field against a team that you're relatively on the same footing with. It's not like you're beating a dominant Oklahoma team that has dominated that conference forever. And now you get K-State. And the thing is, K-State is different than all of those teams because they're going to run the football and they're going to do some extremely difficult things. And they've got a guy named Deuce Vaughn who might be the best running back in the country. Therefore, I think they run out of gas. I've got K-State in this one. K-State keeps it rolling. And K-State, they've got a tough stretch here. But can they start to march towards that 12-1 season that I want so badly?
Jack, give your pick, and then I've got a really hot take that it'll go through the end of the season. Go ahead and make your pick, and I've got a statement on that.
We have wanted that. I'm going to make one pick for the I guess, darling child that we have for Kansas State. I'm going to make that pick for Carter's sake, but then I'm going to ask him to plug his ears and pick TCU for this game because I really like Max Duggan. I like what he's done at quarterback this year. I like Quentin Johnson has come on the last 2 weeks. He's gone crazy. If TCU does beat Kansas State this week, they will have gone through their two hardest games that they're going to see all season, as well as beating a really good Kansas team. So if they come down the stretch, they go to West Virginia. West Virginia has not been very good. Texas Tech has not been very good. They go to Texas. They've put up some points on some teams.
I think at Texas may be the hardest game on their schedule.
Oh, do you really? Yeah. See, because I think it was last week, Oklahoma State.
I think that's a very hard game, but I think at Texas might be harder.
Maybe so. I'm just not as sold on Texas, I guess. I don't think of them as being not good this year. But
I mean Texas really is a touchdown favorite at Oklahoma State this weekend.
Yeah.
Which I'm blown away by that line. I really am. But here's my statement, fellas. You're not going to like it, but I truly do believe it. If Kansas State, and this is what I think this game, Kansas State TCU, I think this carries a ton of weight in the Big 12, and here's why. If Kansas State beats TCU tomorrow night, the Big 12 will not have a representative in the college football playoff because
yes.
Kansas State has one loss already. I think they pick up at least one more down the stretch somewhere. They've got a tough schedule, fellas, if you look at it. They've got a tough schedule down the stretch. TCU would then have one loss. They still, like you were talking about, they still have to go to Texas. They still have to go to Baylor. They still have to play Iowa State at the end of the year. I think there's a chance that they could lose another game in the regular season, or if they were to get to the Big 12 championship, possibly lose that. If Kansas State beats TCU tomorrow, the Big 12 will be left out of the college football playoff. I think that is how important it is for TCU to win tomorrow, but I do have the Horned Frogs picking it up.
So is there thoughts of nefarious Big 12 meddling into trying to secure this win for TCU?
I mean, look, if you got to make the call, you got to make the call. No, I don't think so. But I really do believe that's how much is riding on this football game tomorrow.
That's fair. The Big 12 is the most likely to cannibalize itself and knock themselves out of the college football playoff picture.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And this would be the start of it. Again, I don't think it happens. I like TCU in this game, but I just think that's how much rides on it. But as we look around the SEC tomorrow, because, again, while it may not be the most exciting week of SEC football, there are some, I think there's three or four big games that have some weight to them, right? Tennessee plays UT Martin. We're not worried about that. Vanderbilt, Missouri, if you really get bored and want to watch that one on Saturday afternoon, be my guest. I will not be joining you on that. But tomorrow, 2:30, you can tune in right here on ESPN 106.7. We will have the ESPN National broadcast. Number 7, Ole Miss, undefeated on the road at LSU, who is 5-2. LSU favored by 1.5. This has been a very, very popular upset pick, LSU and Ole Miss. Who do you guys have?
Yeah, because LSU is going to stomp them.
Yeah.
LSU's winning this game by 2 scores.
I'm not going to go that far, but I am going to go LSU with this one.
They've been playing
better defense thus far. It's in
CBS Death
Valley.
CBS game. Both teams want to run the ball. Ole Miss's defense is garbage.
Yeah. And we saw that.
Auburn's performance last week is more of an indictment of Ole Miss than a glowing example of the progress being made on the offensive side of the ball for Auburn. That's what I'm going to say, and that's why you're going to see this LSU team put up 35, 45 points in this game.
Right.
And they're going to dominate it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Ole Miss's offense has proven it to be very good. But, again, we saw an Auburn team that hadn't run the ball very well all year last week run for however many yards it was. I can't remember. It was over 300 at least.
Auburn ran for 301.
Yeah, that's right, 301. So
it was over 300. Good job, Jack.
There we go. See, I got that, man. I'm going to take LSU. I like the pick, Carter.
I like LSU as well. This is a very, very popular upset pick. Like I said, tons of people are
Ole
picking
Miss
LSU.
Ole Miss is going 8-4. And the only people who don't see that are irrational Ole Miss fans that think they're going to win the national championship because they're 7-0.
But I think this game tomorrow is a lot closer than what you guys are saying. I don't think LSU wins this thing by double digits. I think it's a great game. I think it's back and forth, competitive. I think it's going to be a really, really good game.
Say this. If Ole Miss does win this game, what they've got left, they do have Alabama to go, and then they do have the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, they do just casually have little old Alabama.
Right. So they've got to win this game, but then they've got a murderer's row the rest of the way.
At Texas A&M.
Which is why I have them going 1-4 down the stretch.
Yeah, at A&M, home for Bama, at Arkansas, home for Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl. Look, Ole Miss has got... They've got wins under their belt, sure, but who have they played? I mean, their best wins against a Kentucky team who was top seven at the time that's still got two losses now.
They handed them the win.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They have played six bad teams and one good team that just gave that game away.
I like LSU tomorrow. I really do. I think being at home is big. I think it'll be a really good football game. Back and forth. You're going to see some points. You're going to see some defensive plays as well. But I think Jaden Daniels is starting to play better for LSU. I think you're starting to see some of the athletes on LSU come out and play because they do have athletes. And that's one thing I talked about in the summer was even though Brian Kelly is a question mark as the head coach, LSU still has talent. And they're 5-2. They're 3-1 in the SEC. But I do think they win this football game over Ole Miss tomorrow.
I know that we've talked about LSU, and none of us are really sold on them. LSU, with a win tomorrow, goes 4-1 in the West. Then to finish, they've got Alabama at home, they go to Arkansas, and they go to Texas A&M. Could LSU find their way to Atlanta?
No. Alabama is going to just take a shovel and beat them upside the head repeatedly.
I think so, too. I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting to see because if you can somehow upset Alabama in that game, you've got two teams in the West who, other than Auburn, are going to be your easiest
winners. I think it's fair to look at the schedule for LSU and say outside of the Alabama game, they have a good shot to beat Ole Miss, Arkansas, UAB, and Texas A&M. So I think LSU fans are going to find themselves in a pretty decent spot at the end of the year, unless they just implode on themselves and decide to lose at Arkansas and lose to A&M, which you got to go on the road for both of those, which isn't easy. But LSU does have a chance.
We are discounting both of those teams too much in relation to LSU.
I think LSU has a good
tough games. I think they're beatable, though. But I think they're beatable,
they are,
is what I'm saying.
Those are winnable games for LSU, but they're every bit as capable of losing those games.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you could put it probably at a coin toss, I would think. But LSU, if they do pull those wins out, they're looking really good at the end of the year. So I don't think Jack's claim is just
null and void. No. It's 100% fair. LSU is having a season that I did not think they had in them this year.
Yeah.
Which, credit to them, credit to Brian Kelly, as much as I hate saying that, but they've pulled themselves together. They looked awful. They looked like a four-win team in their opener against FSU.
And they still almost won.
If they actually do what I was talking about, they'd be undefeated in the West. Their only SEC loss would be to Tennessee, an East team.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I don't think it happens.
Alabama,
but
I don't think so either. But I'm saying, what if they did, Carter?
But I think they are going
to
see.
It's like the caller we had yesterday that said, what if Auburn won out?
Yeah. But I think LSU is going to exceed expectations is kind of where we're getting at here. They're going to exceed their expectations for what they were having coming into this season. Look, Vanderbilt, Missouri play tomorrow. Good luck if you watch that one. Mississippi State on the road at Alabama. Of course, Alabama coming off of the loss against Tennessee. They are 21-point favorites. This is a game where we thought Mississippi State could come in and maybe compete a little bit offensively. They have not looked good the last 2 weeks. I just don't know where Mississippi State can run with Alabama coming off of. Look, Alabama's going to be mad, man. Saban will have this team ready to play. This may be the most disciplined game they play all year long because they have not looked disciplined this year so far. They're going to be ready to go. It's in Bryant-Denny, 6 o'clock. at night, Tuscaloosa. Not that it's like the craziest environment, but they're going to be loud and proud. I like Alabama big here, boys.
State has two stinkers on their schedule, their resume to this point, and that's against at LSU and at Kentucky. They're on the road here. I don't love the matchup. I think they've only scored 9 total points in the Mike Leach tenure against Alabama. But I tell you what, when State is ready to roll, like the 3 weeks before they lost to Kentucky, the offense looked awesome. Granted, one of those is against Bowling Green, but they put up 42 against Texas A&M and killed them. They put up 40 against Arkansas and killed them.
Both at home.
Yes. It hurts me to say I think Alabama. Actually, you know what? Because I made the claim last week, I got to stick with State. Sure, State pulls the State pulls the upset. Let's go.
Fair. Hey, but credit Carter, to you for sticking with it, man.
But Carter, Mississippi State will never beat Alabama. That's what you told me.
No, I said last week on the show.
I'm saying just now when you said they're never going to be. We're talking about LSU.
Never mind. Yes, because LSU is worse than the State is this year.
Pay attention.
I was giving crap. Sorry.
Look, my thing with before I let Jack make his pick, the thing about Mississippi State right now, Carter's talking about their offense. All three of those big offensive performances where they put up 45, 42, and 40, they were at home. They go on the road last week at Kentucky. They put up 17. That's not enough for this Mississippi State offense. You're on the road again at Alabama. I don't think they score a lot. I think Alabama does. Again, I like Alabama big. Jack, who's your pick and why?
Yeah, Mississippi State, they haven't been good on the road all season long. I really like Will Rogers. I think what he does in an air raid offense is incredible. 23 touchdowns and 4 interceptions on the year. 2,300 yards. Believe that leads the NCAA in yardage this year. Unfortunately, I think Alabama's going to roll at home for Mississippi State. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is actually, and I got a text from our buddy Scott Bagwell just a moment ago, but I agree with him. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is probably, if not the best, one of the best running backs in college football. I think he's got great vision and balance, and he's going to catch balls out of the backfield. So, yeah, I'll take Alabama. I think Jahmyr Gibbs goes crazy in this one.
One more game before we get to our final break in this second hour. Texas A&M, South Carolina. It's an interesting game because when you looked at it at the beginning of the year, you're thinking, okay, A&M's going to go on the road, kind of take care of business, just be fine, right? That's their SEC East crossover, whatever. But now you're looking at a 3-3 Texas A&M team, 1-2 in the SEC. You're looking at a 4-2 South Carolina team who's 1-2 in the SEC. A&M favored by 3 on the road Saturday night, 6:30 in Columbia, South Carolina. What happens here?
Well, I mean, this is the SEC Divisional Championship. Just to decide which division is better than the other here. Because I think it's going to be the funniest thing ever. And because South Carolina got that big win, I know it was against a depleted Kentucky roster without Will Levis. Give me South Carolina at home against A&M, and we're gonna start to have the conversation.
Spencer Rattler for Heisman.
About Jimbo Fisher, man. When they go 6-6 this year.
Yeah. I agree with Carter on this one. South Carolina, I thought, was left for dead. They apparently weren't. They put up.
I don't think they're good. I'll preface that. Yeah,
I don't either, but I think they come off momentum. I think you're going to see Spencer Rattler at least not turn the ball over as often in this game. I think Texas A&M struggling, and I can see some conversation around Jimbo Fisher after this game.
I've got Texas A&M. I just can't. I cannot buy into South Carolina having the athletes and being able to run with A&M. Not that A&M is anything great right now, but I think A&M's defense is good enough that we've seen it in the last couple of weeks. I like A&M to win this game on the road in South Carolina. I think Jimbo, he's probably realizing that he's going to have to pick up some wins where he can for Texas A&M, because when you look at the remaining schedule for them, they've got to play Ole Miss, Florida, and then LSU at the end of the year. Yeah, they got to come to Auburn too. So you're playing, and look, luckily for A&M, Florida, Auburn, and LSU are not just fantastic in what they could be. We've talked about LSU being better than what we thought they were going to be, so that's a tough game. But, I mean, if they lose this game, that's a three-game losing streak for Aggieland, and I think Texas A&M would start losing their minds a little bit about Jimbo, really start questioning him. I like Texas A&M to win this football game on the road. I think the defense is what wins it for them on Saturday. I really do. I think A&M wins on the road in South Carolina. Until I see it, I won't believe it. South Carolina will beat Texas A&M. But we'll see how it goes. That's tomorrow night, 6:30. I believe that is on the SEC Network. It is 6:30 on the SEC Network. But we have got to get to our final break here on this Friday edition of On the Line. We'll come right back and wrap it all up before the drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. All that coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
Are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up the Friday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins, Carter Berg, joined by our good buddy Jack Cutton in the studio. We've got about 3 minutes or so before we get out of here, and it'll be the drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck here on ESPN 106.7 from 4 to 6. And then we've got Padres-Phillies at 6, so make sure you stay tuned for that. That'll be game 3 of the NLCS, so you make sure you want to stay tuned for that. And then reminder, we've got high school football coverage tonight over on Wings 94.3. Auburn High School is at Prattville. On the Auburn High School Sports Network, you can join Jack Cutton, Rob Pate, and Jack Cutton over on Wings 94.3. Kickoff at 6:30. What?
I think you said Jack Hutton twice. Or did I hear that
wrong?
It's
all right. Yeah.
Oh,
there's a whole lot of meat going around.
Scott Bagwell, my apologies. Scott Bagwell, Rob Pate, and Jack. I got a lot going on in my head right now, fellas. Look, Scott Bagwell, Rob Pate, and Jack Hutton. Sorry, I didn't mean to give you double credit. Didn't mean to diss Scott Bagwell.
Maybe I misheard it.
Yeah, I'm having a babysit in here right now. So it's fine. Look, Scott Bagwell, Rob Pate, Jack Hutton, Wings 94.3, the Auburn High School Sports Network. Kickoff is at 7. Broadcast will be at 6:30, and then Carter and I. After the show, we are heading over to Lee Scott Academy. They have Fort Dale at home tonight over on AU 100. That's 100.3 FM. You can tune into the Lee Scott Sports Network with Carter and I. Broadcast at 6:30, kickoff at 7 from Lee Scott Academy. But look, gentlemen, you guys have the weekend off from doing after the game on the bye week for Auburn. What are you guys doing this weekend?
I'm going home to Birmingham to see family and going to play golf with my dad and have a nice relaxing weekend. Probably watch Northwestern get smashed by a backup quarterback playing for Maryland. It's going to be really, really fun.
I'm going to start dreaming about basketball, I think.
Yeah, there you go. We talked about basketball this week.
Not going to be conscious at all this weekend. Just going to be asleep the whole time dreaming about basketball.
I was going to say, I may be unconscious, maybe not for some reasons that maybe a college town would think.
Dear goodness.
Hey, there is no judgment here, man. Well, look, gentlemen, enjoy your bye week. Enjoy whatever you're doing. Of course, there's no after the game this week. Auburn being on the bye week, they will be back next week after Auburn gets back to playing some college football. And look, next week, we'll talk more about Auburn because we'll have some Auburn games to talk about. Maybe we'll have some Auburn athletic director news to talk about. We're going to find out, but enjoy the weekend. There's a lot of good football. Make sure you're tuning in here on ESPN 106.7 for all of our baseball coverage. We've got Ole Miss LSU tomorrow at 2 o'clock, and then high school football tonight. Auburn High on Wings 94.3 and Lee Scott Academy on AU 100. Both of those will get going at 6:30. That's it for the Friday edition of On the Line. Carter and I will be back on Monday. Enjoy your weekend. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.